perfect plan. To fellowship with us was his desire. But Adam disobeyed, to sin became a slave. Now a perfect sacrifice would be required.
An offering must be made, the sin debt must be paid, so God and man can reconciled be. So Jesus set a goal, because he loved me so, he shed his blood and paid sin's penalty. He gave himself to pay a debt I could not pay when I was lost. He gave himself to be my way, though I deserve to be upon the cross that day. No greater love is known, no greater love is shown, than one lays his life for a friend. But Jesus died for me when I was his enemy. A love like this I cannot comprehend. He gave himself to pay a debt I could not pay when I was lost. He gave himself to be my way, though I deserve to be upon the cross that day. Took my place and gave himself. My nails were in his hands, my crown of thorns he wore, my stripes were on his back, my heavy cross he bore. And when God turned his back, he turned it on my sin. Jesus won a victory that I could never win. He gave himself to pay a debt I could not pay when I was lost. He gave himself to be my way, though I deserve my place and gave himself. In love he took my place and gave himself.
This morning and turn to the book of Lamentations, please. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. Find Jeremiah, then you find Lamentations. Matter of fact, the book of Lamentations is the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to read verses 22 and 23 this morning. And as we normally do, we read one verse. We'll read together in unison the second time. Well, this morning we're going to read in unison 22 and 23 after I read it. So as you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, if you're able, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's read together, please. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, we do thank you for this passage in the Word of God. It's a wonderful passage. It's a comforting passage. Lord, please work on our needs this morning in this room and on the internet. Use our pastor to help us today. Empower him for this task. And Father, if there's somebody that's listening on the internet or in this room this morning that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they do that today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
You're being seated now. Reach over there, grab your cell phone, get your cell phone, turn it off. In our church, it's pretty close to the death penalty if your phone goes off in the service, and we really hate to drag anybody out of here and try and kill them. So would you just do us a huge favor and turn your cell phone off or to vibrate, whatever the case may be. For some of you this morning, you're still looking for the Book of Lamentations, I know, because it's not one we read very often. It's between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You know what Lamentations is in the Bible, that book? It's five simple chapters. It's actually five songs. It's a funeral song. Jeremiah is sitting on the side of a hill here, and he's looking at the city of Jerusalem, and it has just been destroyed by the Babylonian army. It took 4 years of siege, and finally the Babylonian army overcame that great city of Jerusalem. They broke down the gates. They broke down the walls. They went into the city. They killed just about everybody, set every building they could find on fire, including the temple that Solomon had built that was overlaid with literally thousands of pounds of gold on the inside. And when it burned, the gold melted and went down into the blocks of the floor. So they turned every block over to dig up all the gold. So they destroyed the temple. They knocked the walls of the city of Jerusalem down, burnt the city. Jeremiah's hometown. And he's sitting on a hillside, and he's looking at the destruction. And there's five songs here. And he talks about the why, the what, whatever happened. Jeremiah was the prophet, one of the many prophets God sent to Israel to tell them, you turned away from me, and if you don't turn back, there are going to be serious consequences. The people didn't listen to Jeremiah. I was reading some of Jeremiah's letter this morning, the book. Some people came to him and said, look, whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do to get this right, because the army's here, we're in trouble, what do we do? And Jeremiah told them what to do, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. And I thought, well. So now he's watched them destroy his city, his hometown. They have ravaged the land, people's bodies piled up. I mean, it's a sad sight. So for much of the Book of Lamentations, it's a lament. For much of the book, it's about sorrow and sadness and that kind of thing because of this really dark day in Israel's life and his hometown and his people. But wait a minute. But when you get to Jeremiah 3, verse 22, look at me. He's looking at a destroyed nation and saying, but you know, if it weren't for his mercies, we'd be consumed. And his compassions, they fail not. He said, they're new every morning. He's not looking at a beautiful sunrise or sunset and a nice cool day. He's looking at a destroyed nation and a people hauled to captivity. And he's saying, but great is thy faithfulness. I asked Brother James to put that hymn in our singing this morning, knowing I was headed this way today. Wait a minute. How do you look at destruction like this? And by the way, it wasn't like, you know, they were already rebuilding the city. That would not be rebuilt for 40 years. Most of those people were either dead or taken to captivity. A handful is left. How can you say his faithfulness is great in the middle of one of the darkest days of your life? Great is thy faithfulness. How can you look at something as awful as that? How can you look at a troublesome time, difficult hour, dark day, battle, struggle, valley, whatever the case may be, and sit there and say, but you know what? Great is the faithfulness of my God. Now, there's the lesson this morning, and there's a simple application for the message. But how can that be? See, we've got that. Most Christians today, they want to go to church. They want to hear about how they can get gold dust at their house or angel feathers coming out of the vents, or they want to know how they can get a Cadillac out of the deal, or how they can get money out of this, or how they can get something out of God and everything else. You know, it's a tragedy, ladies and gentlemen, that our Christianity in America today is broken down to nothing but let's make a deal TV show. You know what I'm saying? We just want to go to church and hear about how we can get, gimme, 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 and prosper me. And the trouble with that kind of Christianity is when you don't get, and you don't gimme, and you don't prosper, and you don't get a Cadillac, then you think something's wrong with either you or your God. Here's a man looking at destruction saying, but great is thy faithfulness. So how do you do that? How do you look at something that's difficult and tough and still realize the faithfulness of your God? Well, first of all, there's a couple of things you need to keep in mind, of course, and that is, of course, that your God is a faithful God. Both of you, thank you. If I started with that statement, I was going to start that with the statement, God is a faithful God this morning. And I thought, no, I don't want revival to break out that early. That's too soon. People start holding babies up in the air and crying and weeping and thanking God and rejoicing in his goodness. And God said, no, put it a little bit later after the funeral dirge and then make that statement, see if you won't get maybe two amens out of the deal. And God was right. But God is still faithful, my friend. Oh, yes, he is. The darkest hour of your life, you still have a faithful God. And the truth is, God is faithful, ladies and gentlemen, and he is. He is faithful to who he is. Hey, look at me. He's not the little g God, he's the big g God. And he shares that with nobody else. He is faithful to the fact he is a holy, loving, compassionate, caring, forgiving, judging God. Yeah, that's right, brother. He's got it all now. Let's get the perspective on our God this morning. He is all that we would want him to be and all we would hope we'd never find out. Because I guarantee you, he is all of that. He's God. He doesn't ask permission to do what he does because he's God. He doesn't ask Congress. He doesn't ask the United Nations. He doesn't ask anybody. He won't ask your permission. He's not going to sit around and answer all your little piddly questions either about things. You know why? Because God is God, ladies and gentlemen. He is faithful to who he is. He's not coming off the throne for anybody. He's not asking permission from anyone. He's not looking for license from mankind. And look at me. And he's not looking for some little puny punk-minded person to say that God exists. God's already there, and if he can't agree with that, tough. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, that's not how God is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He's loving. He's merciful. He's kind. He's gracious. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. He's amazing. Hey, he's a forgiving God. He's an understanding God. He's a willing God. He's a personal God. He's all that we would want him to be, but he's also a God who'll slap you upside your head so mama will feel it while she's washing the dishes. He's one of those gods that steps in on man's plans and rectifies things and straightens them out according to his will. And if you mess with him, you done mess with the wrong one, because you mess with God. Same one. See, he's faithful to that. He did, I think he made it quite simple when he said, I am God, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I like that. In a changing day where people keep changing their minds. Some don't have enough mind to change, but some change their minds. God changes not. He is faithful to who he is. You know what? God is faithful to this, ladies and gentlemen. Look at me. See this right here? He's faithful to his word. Now, I know people can denigrate it and make it sound like it's just a book and it's another religious piece of writings and compilation of a man's thoughts or people's thoughts. And it's got some historical stuff in there, and it can be a blessing. Got news for you. It's a lot bigger than that. Oh, it's big. This is the word of God. It's inspired, infallible. It's inerrant. And you know something? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Psalm 138 verse 2 says that God exalts his word above his own name, for goodness sakes. And if he won't come off the throne for anybody because he's God, then he won't let anybody mess with his word either, because that's his word. It's what God said. When God said in the beginning, God, there it is, that's all you got to know, that settles it. That God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to bless it. He's faithful to use it. He's faithful to keep every promise, 6,000 some promises in the Word of God. He has kept most all of them. Those who aren't kept yet will be, and he won't miss one. God is a faithful God. He is faithful to his Word. God is also faithful to his people. This is not the sermon. I'll get there. Hold on. God is faithful to his people. You mean the nation of Israel? Yes, he's faithful to the nation of Israel. Those are still his chosen people. Wise as any human being, any leader, any dictator, anybody else named Putin or any of the rest of them, or Xi or whatever these clowns' name are over in China. Wise are those people. Keep their little hands off that nation. You don't want to mess with the nation of Israel now. You mess with the nation of Israel, you're messing with God's people. Those are his people. So, yeah, he's faithful to his people. But I got news for you. He's expanded the family just a little bit. And as many as received him, to them gave me power to become the sons of God. And the moment you trust Christ, you're in. You're a part of the family. You're one of God's children. And you know what? He's faithful to his children. God doesn't forsake his children. He's our heavenly Father. Jesus is our elder brother. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our help, our guide. And you know what? God is faithful to his people. Would to God, God's people were as faithful to him as he is to them. Great is thy faithfulness. Then why do we have to have dark days, battles, loss, struggles, and all the rest of it? Because God's faithfulness means God does what God deems is best. Yeah, listen to me. Even in destruction and death and trouble, yep. We got to grow up a little bit in our thinking about God and stop realizing he's not just a heavenly ATM machine. He's not just a Santa Claus. He's not just up there to stand around and wait for us to give him an order so he follows our orders. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God deems it's best for us to have a loss instead of a gain. Now, sometimes God deems that it's best that we suffer instead of have good health. People who sell that stuff about God never wants you sick. I'll tell you what happens. Your wife winds up with cancer, and then you got to eat your words. The truth of the matter is, here's the deal now. You mean God wants tough in my life instead as easy, well as easy? Yes. He wants storms as well as silvery seas? Yes. Because we know it. Okay, I'm going to give it to you. Romans 8:28. You know the verse, quoted with me. Are you ready? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that good in Romans 8:28 is his good and yours, but his determination of what's good for you. So how can that be good to have dark days and struggles? You know, ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. He has a perspective we don't have. He sees everybody instead of just each person. He sees each one. But see, our lives are all caught up in our, look at me, our lives are all caught up in our little circle. Our little circle of life and people, that's where we're at. And sometimes we can't even see past that. We just see ourselves and our own little situation. God has a little different perspective than that. But he also sees what's best for you as you fit in the great plan of God for everybody's life. And sometimes we have to realize that God is just as faithful in the troublesome, difficult times as he is in the good and blessed times. Because God knows what's best. Every parent in this room has said it to your kids. When they said, look, Dad, it's not a problem. Just give me the keys to the car. My friends and I are just going to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to In-N-Out Burger. And you looked at them and said, I may have been born at night, kid, but I wasn't born last night. And you ain't getting the keys. And you've turned them down on something they just thought they had to have because it wasn't going to be life without it. And what did you say to them? Well, son, I just happen to know what's best for you in this particular. How can a parent with our flaws have that kind of understanding about one of their children and not realize we have a God in heaven, ladies and gentlemen? And if you're his child, he's your heavenly Father, and he does know what's best. And so consequently, you could sit there and look at what Jeremiah saw and said, yet but great is thy faithfulness, because you know what's best for me. I have never looked at a flat tire and thought that was best. You know, no, nobody does that stuff. These people who tell you that kind of stuff. You know, you're out here in a parking lot, you get ready to leave church, you're waving at people, saying goodbye and deciding where you're going to go get lunch. And while you're not paying attention, you slam your finger in the door. And those spiritual people come up to you and say, all things work together for good. And you look at them and say, stick your head in the door and you can join me. We'll see how good that is on your head. Nobody ever does that. Nobody ever looks at trouble sometimes and say, you know, this must be for my good. But if you believe you have a faithful God who loves you and only does what's best, you will come to that conclusion. You will stand by the graveside and say, but this must be the will of God for some reason. You'll go to the hospital and stand beside that bed, or you'll be in the bed yourself and you'll hear that and you'll say, but you know what? I didn't see it at first, but somehow or another, I can see it now. I understand now. We all look through a glass darkly, my friend. But then one day, face to face, the Bible says, and yes, it's talking about this life to the next life, and one day we'll all be face to face with things in our God. Yes, I understand it, but there's also that mystery of his will that we don't always get. And you know something? He is a faithful God, ladies and gentlemen, because he knows what's best. Great is thy faithfulness. How can you say that looking at something like this, like Jeremiah sees? Because God's faithfulness, ladies and gentlemen, does mean he does keep his word. Now here's a tough one. I want you to stay with me on this. When Jeremiah looked at the destruction of Jerusalem in the country, he knew that God had given them plenty of warnings. And God kept saying, look at me, God kept saying, you better fix this now. And if you don't, I'm going to step in and you're not going to like it. He told the children of Israel, he told them, especially in Jerusalem, he says, you're going to eat your children in the destruction that's coming to you. You're going to pile the bodies up like cordwood if you don't get this thing right. So it wasn't like all of a sudden they just got wiped out. Hey, no, God had been sending warning signs all along. Woo, and preachers are standing up and people standing up and they saw the trouble. Look, it wasn't like the Babylonian army came one day and destroyed the city. It was 4 years outside that city. They knew what was coming. But they just kept telling them, I'm not going to do that. I'm doing my own thing. I'm worshiping my own gods. I'm going to do what I want to do. Jeremiah, in his book, in Jeremiah, he talks about how he was telling the people, look, we got to get this thing right. And they said, no, you're all wrong. When we worshiped the Queen of Heaven and offered her incense and our children in the fires, they'd take their children to the garbage dump. There was metal gods there that they heated glowing red hot. And they'd take their babies and lay them on the arms of those gods to sacrifice them. They said, when we did that, we had bread, we had food, we had provision, we had everything we need. We don't need to go worship your God, Jeremiah. We were doing good until this came up. So when he says, great is thy faithfulness, Jeremiah said, well, as sad as it is to see this, God's word came about. Like God, do you see it as faithful when after God has given you warnings about things in your life and you didn't pay attention? Stuff came that wasn't pleasant. Did you see it as a faithful God trying to help you or hurt you? How did you see it? Did you see it as a faithful God trying to get you to wake up and pay attention? Or did you get mad at God and say, well, where's God in all my trouble? Well, where were you when he was trying to help you not get into trouble? Where were you when he was trying? Listen, you say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, that's not, wait a minute. I know this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off and the Holy Spirit of God says, you better watch it now. I want to jump out of the car and kick his bumper so bad he can't stand it. I know that. Oh, the Holy Spirit gets all over me when I start to wander just a little bit. I'm standing at Walmart and there's the 20 item or less line. There's a guy with four baskets and two fistfuls of food stamps who can't seem to read that 20 item or less sign that's up there. I want to count for him. That's 20! But you know, no, the Holy Spirit of God is getting all over me about that one. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is God doesn't allow me to do anything without a whole bunch of warning signs saying, watch out, son, watch out. Now, you know, you don't go over there. Don't think that way. Don't talk like that. Don't do this. And there are times... Now, this is just me. There are times when I just run right past the warning. I run the red light. No, not really. Not yesterday a little bit. But the truth of the matter is that there's times. And then what happens? The consequences for my actions come in for what I shouldn't have been doing. And you think at that moment when it happens, I say, thank you, God, for spanking the fire out of me. Thank you for taking me to the Holy Ghost woodshed. No. But after I sit down for a while and think about it, God didn't make a mistake. I did, and I didn't listen. And then I realize, well, that was my Heavenly Father, my faithful Heavenly Father, trying to help one of his children turn around and pay attention. Do you still say great is thy faithfulness when God keeps his word in that way? Do you see great is thy faithfulness to see that when you go through what you go through in life, even at times when you're stubborn and not paid attention, do you see he's being faithful to you? The other day, the girls are at our house. Charlotte, she's two. We walked outside, went to the gate, walked around outside. We were coming back in, and I always have her close the gate. This time, she gets to hold the gate. I'm on the inside of the yard. She's on the outside. She puts her little finger through the knot hole that's poked out. She looks at me, and she steps outside the gate and closes it. I'm still inside. I figure, well, she'll learn about cars. So I just sort of stood back and watched through the fence. And she kind of looked around and she thought, yeah, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. And she started to walk off and she just got down to the edge of the house and she looked this way and she looked that way and she looked around and she turned around. Uh-oh. She comes back over and the gate didn't latch. She pushes it open. I was standing inside there. She saw me. She went outside, closed the gate again, went down the sidewalk. She couldn't see me, though. So this time I went and hid behind the shed, but I was watching her. You know, she didn't go very far before she realized my safety is inside the gate, not outside. She turned around, walked inside the gate. She closed the gate on the inside and went about her a little merry way. Because something wasn't right. Because who was her protector and watching out for her wasn't close to her. And she knew it. But unfortunately, she had to go find that out on her own. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you understand, friend? Look at me. Even when you're not faithful to him, he's still faithful to you. Yeah? You still get breath in your body. You still get a roof over your head. Hey, guess what? You might get a job out of the deal. You might get better health. All that time while we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to our own way, yet the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all, the great John 3:16 of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53:6. But he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. And that prodigal went to the far country. The father stayed home, but he was still very much invested in that young man out there. And he's still very much invested in you. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Hey, great is thy faithfulness. There is your God, ladies and gentlemen. And he's proving his faithfulness to you that even through it all, he's still there to help you. Well, then I can go do what I want. Well, he's there to help you until you take that journey and you go too far. And when you turn around to come back, guess what? He is waiting for you. I've read that passage in Lamentations 3:23 many times. Great is thy faithfulness, and encouraged me in that great hymn we just sang earlier. That comes from that statement in the Bible. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The truth of the matter is, here it is. That comes at a time in the darkest day of that man's life, but he realized how faithful God was. That came at a real battle in his life, but he realized how faithful God is. Let me ask you a question. Are you as faithful to him as he is to you? Say, well, if he's faithful to me and I'm not, I can go do what I want. Yeah, to a point. He'll let you outside that gate, but if you're smart enough, you'll realize your safety is inside. You'll turn around and come back to him. Where are you in this thing? Is God a faithful God to you in all circumstances and conditions? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.